The following is an excerpt from the Science Magazine podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
Science's Lauren Schenkman is sitting in for David Graham with a wrap-up of some of the latest science news from our online daily news site, Science Now, including a story about the genes for pain. All the genes for pain, Lauren?
No, they're not, but they do seem to affect how sensitive people are to pain.
What's an example of that sensitivity difference?
Well, you know, some kids, they'll skin their knees and they'll just get up and they'll be laughing and it's like not a big deal. And then there'll be kids who just cry with the slightest pinch. So you might think that one kid is tough and the other one's a sissy, but that's not the case. There actually could be genetic reasons for why some people are just more sensitive to pain. It's not their fault.
I had understood that women were more tough when it came to pain than men. Is that where the story is going?
No, this is more to do with variations from person to person. It's really small things. So researchers knew that there was this one gene called SCN9A that appeared to play a big role in how people felt pain. If your gene had a really weird mutation, you wouldn't feel any pain at all, actually. And then a different kind of dramatic mutation made people feel pain just all of a sudden for no reason. So they knew this was like a very important gene to pain. But actually, even really tiny changes can change how you experience pain. So there's something called a single nucleotide polymorphism, which is just when you swap one nucleotide or letter for another. And even this tiny, tiny difference can actually lead to two people having different sensitivities to pain. So researchers had looked at hundreds of people with osteoarthritis, which is a really painful condition, and they checked to see what sort of changes they had in this one nucleotide on this gene. And it turned out that people with one certain mutation were just more sensitive to pain. It seemed to be a really kind of strong correlation. And then they looked at a bunch of other people with different kinds of pain, people with backaches, people who had lost limbs who felt pain in the limbs that weren't there, people with pancreatitis, just all different kinds of pain. And when they put the whole picture together, it looked like overall, if you had this mutation, you were just much more likely to have more pain, to report more pain to these conditions.
What does the mutation do?
Well, there's a little ion channel on nerves that helps fire the nerve. And researchers aren't really quite sure what's going on, but when they looked at ion channels that were made with this mutation, they appeared to be not as good as shutting off again. So that would mean that the nerve was firing for longer. It's a subtle thing, so they're not sure if this is the whole story, but at least it's a start. And it could even sort of explain why some people develop chronic pain, because about 20% of the adult population develops chronic pain. It doesn't seem to be tied to the injury they have or to how much damage there is. So there has to be something else going on. So maybe this is the explanation.
Okay. So what other stories have you brought with you this week?
Well, my second story is how a mom's diet while she's pregnant can affect the developing fetus and how it seems to affect male and female fetuses differently.
Is this a study done in people?
No, it's done in mice. They actually had three groups of mice. One group was eating very high-fat diet, one was on a high-carb, low-fat diet, and one on a sort of moderate diet. And so they fed these pregnant mice these different diets, and then about halfway through the gestation period, they ended the pregnancies and looked inside to see how the fetuses were doing. They scanned 40,000 genes and looked to see if there were any that had been expressed differently between the fetuses that had different diets. And they found that the most dramatic changes were in specifically the female fetuses. So there were 211 genes that differed between the high-fat and low-fat groups. But because this was more pronounced in females, it seems like the females are somehow better at responding to the changes in the diet than the males are. So they're able to adapt to the fact that they're getting lots and lots of fat or that they're not getting as much fat.
So these genes helped the fetuses, the female fetuses, respond differently to the diet? What was happening inside the womb?
Well, that's what the researchers think. Because these genes are associated with smell and nutrient filtering, it's as if the females were being better protected from these kind of crazy diets that their mothers were on. On the other hand, even though the male fetuses weren't as protected from these dietary changes, the high-fat diet did seem to help the male fetuses appear like they were going to survive to term, even though the researchers terminated the pregnancies.
Now, you said these genes had to do with smell and nutrient filtering. Is that what researchers were expecting?
Not really, because they thought they would have something to do with metabolism. You know, that makes much more sense. But these genes that regulate smell and nutrient filtering were actually expressed in the placenta. So that suggests the placenta actually does a whole lot for these developing fetuses. For other researchers, it's not such a surprise because the placenta just has so many functions for the developing fetus.
So why not nutrient filtering and smell too?
Yeah, sure, why not? But other researchers pointed out that it's kind of surprising that there would be a distinction between male and female fetuses right away, right from conception. So that's really interesting. But it's unclear how these differences might play out later in life. It could be that male fetuses, because they're exposed to more harmful compounds earlier on, they might be better adapted to high-fat diets later in life. But that's just speculation at this point.
Okay, so last story. What's this last one about?
This last one is about how HIV hides out in the body. It turns out it hides out in bone marrow, and this could explain why in some people who have HIV, they can't detect any of the virus in the blood.
What about HIV hiding in the bone marrow makes it undetectable to these tests?
Well, it's because of the way it infects these bone marrow cells. So even though it affects them, it doesn't make a copy of itself. It's latent. When it makes a copy of itself, it triggers an immune response, and that makes it detectable. But in bone marrow, HIV just seems to kind of hide out and lay low. And that may be why when people who may not have any detectable levels of HIV in their blood, when they go off their medication, the virus just seems to roar back to life.
Are researchers hopeful that this new understanding of where HIV is hiding out will help them figure out how to remove it?
Yeah, the idea is to find drugs that can target these cells where the HIV is hiding out and get them, basically, it's kind of counterintuitive, but get them to make copies of themselves and show themselves, and then they can go about eradicating them. So the idea is to have drugs that can actually make the HIV make a copy of itself in these cells, and that'll kill these cells off, which seems bad, but actually it gets rid of this hiding place for HIV so that HIV is only in places where the drugs that we have right now can actually target it.
But researchers aren't convinced that this is the only hiding place that HIV is using.
That's right. There might be other places in the body where HIV is hiding out. But the fact that they found one is important. And so it gives them something in addition to work on.
Okay. Well, thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Rob.
Science's Lauren Schenkman sitting in for David Graham with a wrap-up of some of the latest science news from our online daily news site, Science Now. You can check out the latest science news and the policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org.